short statement from Mr. Ismail with the Sheikh Ahmed. You know, the Security Council takes this opportunity to express its deep appreciation for the efforts of Special Envoy Ismail with the Sheikh Ahmed aimed at resolving the conflict in Yemen since 2015. His optimism, drive, and relentless pursuant for peace during his time as special envoy are admired by the members of the Security Council. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. This is just for him. There was no, I don't know what you are expecting from me, but there is no statement, no elements to the press. But if you want to ask, I will answer you in my national capacity.
The Burundi meeting that was held yesterday, could you give some kind of summary, just in terms of, I may have missed it if you gave it, but regarding sort of what the next steps are in terms of the mediation?
On Yemen?
No, this is on, I'm asking on Burundi because I don't think there was a stakeout afterwards. Maybe I'm wrong.
And Burundi?
That you met yesterday.
There is a press statement I think the French are preparing, but it has not been approved yet. Yeah. They are preparing a press statement. They informed the council yesterday in the informal consultation that this is their intention.
It's on a different subject again, but one that's dominated the last few days, which is your negotiations and eventually your passing of a resolution on Saturday with regard to Syria. And yet that resolution, that decision by the Security Council does not seem to have had any effect on the ground. What is your reaction to that, and what are you now doing, given that you have another meeting on Syria taking place on Wednesday?
Yeah, as you said, there will be a meeting on Syria tomorrow, and we will hear a briefing, and we will see, you know, what the next step will be from the council. But yesterday there was also informal meeting for the council member on experts level, but we will follow on the implementation of this resolution for sure.
You know. Are you disappointed?
Yes, for sure. We want the council resolutions to be implemented in the ground. This is what we really want.
Ambassador, are you planning a specific meeting to monitor the ceasefire compliance? There was a plan to do it on Wednesday. Is that going to happen?
We did not decide what the step that we will take after the briefing. But as I said, we will follow up on the implementation of this resolution.
Mr. President, who's briefing you? Is it Mr. Lowcock?
Lowcock, I think, tomorrow, yeah.
That's one Yemen question.
You know, in your national capacity, of course.
Yes.
It seems like in the final stages of Ismail Sheikh Ahmed's service, he wasn't able to meet with the Houthis, or they said that they wouldn't meet with him. They didn't. How important do you think it is for Mr. Griffiths to what steps should he take to try to make sure that he can speak to both sides?
I think it's important for any special envoy that he have an access to all parties, and he's acceptable by all of them. I think this is very important for him to continue and work on peaceful settlement for the special envoy. If you are not acceptable of one or two of the parties, this is a big hurdle. Thank you. Shukran.
Colleagues, I'm not going to make a very long statement. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your cooperation with us as media. I think your coverage of the Yemen has been extremely important. Particularly, I would like to thank you for your coverage on humanitarian issues, which have been, as you know, dramatic in Yemen, and the effort you have made always to highlight Yemen, which in my view did not always get the attention, but the media, you, particularly the colleagues here in New York, have been very good in that, and I want to thank you. I am leaving the job, as you know. This is probably one of my last really public activities, and I did just now a public statement in front of the State Security Council, but I will be glad to take some additional questions to that.
Mr. Smail, hi. You said in the council that you were about to reach agreement on a peace proposal, but that the Houthis scuttled it because they wouldn't agree to certain concessions. Can you say when that was, what the concessions were that you were seeking? Can you give us some more details on that?
Okay. I let me make it very clear. First of all, if I were to make a clear statement and a very accurate one, I think all the parties of Yemen have been problematic in reaching an agreement. So let me make that very clear. But what I try to say, which is perfectly accurate, is during our discussion in Kuwait, we clearly came out at the last moment realizing that the Houthi at that moment, I don't know if it has evolved now, were not ready to discuss the issues. Over 90 days of closed session, there was not a single concession to discuss security issues. So this is what I tried to express this morning. This was during our time in Kuwait when we reached the final agreement. And as you remember, there was an issue about sequencing between political and security issues. And I think this was seriously damaged by the fact that we couldn't get a serious plan from the Houthi regarding the security concession. And as you know, concession were a big part of the Security Council Resolution 2216, because that's all about, you know, the withdrawal, the heavy weaponry, and all these elements. I hope that's clear.
I know the position of the Security Council in its resolutions and the position of the Secretariat, but as you see things now, what are the chances of Yemen staying as one country? Because there are lots of separatist forces, and right now it's certainly not being governed as one entity.
I think, honestly, Yemen today is facing a lot of risk. One of them, as you have said, there are many voices mounting in the south for secessions. And there are also risk of terrorism. We have seen that growing with Al-Qaeda presence and with even some element related to Daesh. So Yemen is definitely, more this war goes on, and this has been my constant message to the party, more we see complication. But as you know, I have met the STC members myself recently, and my message was articulated around three main points, which were very important. First of all, I think even if they have grievances or they have demand, this should not be addressed through violence. This can be addressed only through peaceful means. Second, I think it's important to realize that the priority now is to stop the war. I have been always describing myself as a surgeon who is in a room, and you have a patient coming to you who's bleeding, but then has maybe a heart problem, a liver problem, and you need to stop the bleeding first, and then you can address the other issue. The southern issue is important. There are serious demands from the southern people that need to be addressed, but they cannot be addressed in a war situation. They need to be addressed. And the third point I have raised with the STC during my meeting are these human rights violations that we have seen in the south. There have been many reports coming to us that some northerners have been subject to discrimination and attack, and that this has to stop and that they have to distance themselves. I think on the three points, I have to say I got positive feedback from the STC. But again, the STC is not the only voice in the south. There are many other voices in the south, but you are absolutely right to say that there are some, as I said earlier, major risks to Yemen in general. One of them are these mounting voices for secessionism. Some of them are the terrorist ideas and many others. And we need then to stop this war and really address the issues around a political table.
Thank you, Farhan. سأبقى في نفس سياق السؤال الأخير يعني فريق لجنة العقوبات فريق الخبراء وضع الكثير من التساؤلات حول حقيقة قدرة الرئيس هادي على السيطرة على القوى الأمنية لا سيما في العاصمة المؤقتة عدن من خلال تجربتكم وخبراتكم في اليمن يعني كيف تنظرون إلى بعض دور بعض الوحدات كالحزام الأمني أو قوات النخبة الشبوانية وكيف يؤثر هذا الأمر على العملية السياسية بصورة عامة؟
هو لا شك أنه ما حصل في عدن في نهاية شهر يناير كان شيئا خطيرا ولا شك أنه برز أن هناك تهديد حقيقي أمني نحن نتكلم عما يزيد عن 40 قتيل تقريبا إذن هذا كان شيء خطير وكانت هناك تحديات كبيرة وأساس القوات التي كانت تتشابك كانت بينها اشتباكات موجودة في العاصمة المؤقتة عدن كانت يعني هذه كلها قوات موالية للشرعية موالية رسميا للتحالف وللشرعية إذن هي قضية خطيرة كما تعلمون كانت هناك تدخلات من التحالف من المملكة العربية السعودية والإمارات وهدأت الأمور بطريقة لا شك كانت إيجابية ونحن أشدنا بذلك. أنا في رأيي بدون الدخول في كل التفاصيل الآن لازم أن نذكر الجميع أن الأولوية الآن هو إنهاء الحرب التي اليوم حقيقة أصبحت كارثة بالنسبة للشعب اليمني من ناحية الوضع الإنساني ومن ناحية خطورة تفكك الدولة ككيان. هذه هي الأولوية الأولى، وبعد ذلك ممكن نتطرق لكل هذه القضايا بما فيها قضايا الجنوب أو غيرها، ولكن لا يمكن نتطرق لهذه القضايا في المرحلة الحالية. أنا أريد أن أشكركم والله، يعني أنا
سؤال أخير معلش يكون هذا هو السؤال الأخير في هذه الفترة. طبعا الجميع أشكرك على جهودك الحثيثة لإيجاد حل سلمي وسياسي لليمن خلال السنوات الماضية، ونتمنى لك الخير أينما ذهبت وحللت. أخي إسماعيل، جل من لا يخطئ، هل هناك خطأ ارتكبته خلال هذه الفترة ربما لو عدت النظر وعطيت الفرصة للقيام به تتفاداه، ما هو؟ وثانيا، ما هي النصيحة، أول نصيحة ستعطيها لمارتن جريفيث عندما تقابله بالنسبة للتعامل مع الأطراف اليمنية؟
نعم، أولا لا شك أنا متأكد أنني حتى من الصعب علي أن أعطيكم كل الأغلاط التي قمت بها، لأن هناك أغلاط كبيرة، يعني لا شك الواحد يتعلم من هذا الملف ويوميا يرى أنه حتى نحن قمنا بتعديلات إذا نظرتم إلى خريطة الطريق أو إلى الأفكار التي كانت حتى الإطار العام الاستراتيجي كنا دائما نعدل فيه، لأن هناك أغلاط، يعني الأغلاط البشرية هو عمل بشري، وأنا لا يمكن أبدا أن أبرئ نفسي، يعني لا شك في ذلك أن هناك أغلاط. لكن في نفس الوقت أنا كما قلت وأظن هذا موقفي وموقف الجميع، الأمم المتحدة مثل أي ميسر دورها ليست التوصل إلى الحل بحد، لا يمكننا نحن أن نوقع الحل ما بدل الأطراف، لازم الأطراف أن تتفق والمسؤولية الأولى تبقى مع الأطراف. وأنا في رأيي طيلة هذه 3 سنوات لم يكن هناك استعداد من الطرفين للوصول، لأنه الجميع كان مقتنع وما زال مع الأسف هناك أصوات في الطرفين مقتنعة أن هناك حل عسكري، ونحن نرى أن هذا غلط، ليس هناك حل عسكري للأزمة اليمنية، الحل لازم أن يأتي على الطاولة وحل سياسي. حتى إذا اعترفنا أن هناك تهديدات أمنية للمناطق للمنطقة، يعني تهديدات للأقاليم، هذه القضايا كلها لا يمكن أن تحل إلا على الطاولة، ولا يمكن أن تحل إلا من خلال الحوار. إذن أنا قلت هذا ليس فقط أنني أحملهم المسؤولية اللي هم الأطراف وتبرئة لنفسي، لا، كان لك لا شك أن لنا دور في هذا الموضوع. وبالنسبة لسؤالكم، يعني مارتن ما شاء الله عليه له خبرة طويلة ولا أظنه يحتاج إلى نصائح، هناك تقرير كما تعلمون دائما عندما ينتهي مبعوث يأتي بتقرير، وهذا التقرير يتطرق لتاريخ كل ما قمنا به والتفاصيل، وستكون هناك بعض النقاط التي، ولكن أي مبعوث جديد ممكن أن تكون له رؤية جديدة، وهذا من حقه أن تكون له رؤية جديدة أو طريقة جديدة، وهو مستقل من هذه الناحية، وأنا شخصيا واثق أن خبرته الدبلوماسية والإنسانية، هو له يعني سجل كبير في القضايا الإنسانية والدبلوماسية، سيساعده في التوصل إلى حل. وأشكركم جميعا، ولا شك مرة أخرى أنني أريد أن أجدد لكم شكري وتقديري على يعني كل مساعدة التي أتيتني بها. شكرا.
End of this week.
28. You never filed public financial disclosure. All right. You never. هتشوفك بين واكشوب أو قبل واكشوب.